The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, local for 40 years.
Welcome to the Christmas edition of the Cat Attack Podcast. All we need is Paps Kingy, Jackie McDonald and Daryl Summers to be involved in Patina Arena to sing a tune, and we'd be set for our Christmas edition.
We should have got Dennis Walter in.
The big D.
He loves
the dulcet tones.
He loves
it. He's also a little bit left of centre, Dennis. If you tune in around about sort of 10:30 at night there.
on another station.
He can go a little bit light blue every now and then with some of the... He's got quite a sense of humour.
He does.
Big Dennis. Does he still live in Noble Street?
On the corner of Noble and Shannon. I don't think he's there anymore.
No. But God bless his heart.
He will be there on Christmas Eve at the Sydney Meyer Music Bowl.
Yes, he loves it.
Delivering a Christmas standard.
Absolutely. No, he's... the Cats, they delivered a Christmas standard, Kingy.
They're going okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're actually...
They had a good are they building into their season next year?
They were working nicely into it. Okay. Went and had a look at training this morning for an hour and a half.
And what sort of caught your eye,
Kingy? You don't caught a glean too much. Other than, you'll like this. Mm. Mitch Nevitt's come back a big boy.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the coaching staff might notice him.
Yeah.
Because last year they didn't. Yeah. They just kept leaving him out. He was rubbish binny last year.
It's big year.
Big
for,
year
for Mitch.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
It's contract year.
Well, in fairness, Kingy, I didn't see a lot of the VFL, but just looking at the stats, he played well in the VFL. I don't think there was much more he could do.
But so did Mitch Hardy. And we'll look where
Mitch
Hardy
is. Mitch, I think probably two different players, but I don't think... It's a big year for him, yes, I agree with you, but not because he's not for any doing of his. He actually played well last year. For whatever reason, they kept leaving him out. Yep. Now, he's going to have to change that perception. I hope he gets a crack in the preseason, because I don't think he really got much of a crack in the preseason from memory. So I'm hoping that happens, because Cam Guthrie, how did he look?
Cam Guthrie is building really, really well. Little note here, he's getting some good work in doing everything.
So. Right.
Yeah.
Sounds like a sort of a form guide comment,
does
it?
It does. Yeah. Keep safe.
Keep safe, yeah.
Did it just, what's the other one?
I'll just write no.
Yeah. Prefer others.
Yeah, prefer. Or and next to, there'd be next to like Reece Stanley, we just said take on trust. That'd be another one you'd take.
Place in exotics.
Yes, yes. Don't leave out of your multiples. That's what it said about Mitch Nevitt.
So,
we should do a form guide edition, Kingy, and we go through every player and just have a...
There'll be a couple of preferred others.
There would be a few for you prefer others. Yeah, exactly right.
Cam's going well.
Good.
Cam is one player who, talking to some people down at the Cats today, he was probably the first player they raised with me about how happy they are with how he's tracking.
Be interesting to see.
He's a recruit.
Well, he is. But I was thinking about this the other night, Kingy, when I was, you know, just sort of lying in my charger and my batteries were up at about 83% and I couldn't sleep. And I was in low power mode. What do you think is the expectation for Cam Guthrie? Because I think it's folly, and I'm hoping he gets there, but I think it's folly to think that he's ever going to get back to being the player he was when he won the Best and Fairest.
No. Is his role off halfback?
Well, that...
Which is where he started.
I'm not against
that. When he came back, I think that game against Carlton was his first one.
Yeah, well, they put him to halfback, didn't they?
Yeah, and he looked actually really
solid.
They also
had Mitch Nevitt playing in a game against the Bulldogs at halfback, having never played there in the VFL. I think that's an option. I mean, I think the midfield could still do with him as a midfielder, but I'm just thinking, what is he, 33?
Cam Guthrie, let me confirm his
age. He's no spring chicken, Kingy. Let's put it that way.
No, he is 31.
31?
Yep. 32. He turns 30.
Hang on, he's getting older.
He'll turn 33 in August.
So he's 33. Okay, so he's 32-year-old, coming off basically 2 years of being out of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I just wonder what sort of level he can get back to now.
I don't think he's coming back to have a massive influence on the team.
Well, I hope so. What else would you keep him?
Well, no, but he's not going to be Cam Guthrie of 2022.
No, he's not. So I'm saying to you, what do you think could be his role? Could he be a 15 to 20 possession midfielder?
No, I'd rather him actually off half back, because he uses the footy pretty well.
But he does, and I agree. And
I think he
keeps his feet. But who's he going to get a game of in the defence ahead of? Because it's not his preferred position. Let's put it that way.
This is where Holmes rolls more into the midfield.
Yes.
Holmes more into the midfield.
Yeah, well, he has to play in the midfield, yeah. That's alongside
the,
Smith.
That's where I think the spot opens up.
Yeah, possibly. But although, Holmes was never a permanent fixture in the across halfback. He's going to be competing against... So, Jed Buse, that's the players he'll be competing against.
Yeah.
His brother?
Yep.
He's not going to game about
But they're playing... They're different styles of players. He's not competing against Zach for a spot.
But you can only have so many defenders.
Yeah, well, they'll run with
Collar Jasny.
Yep.
Yeah. Do you think that they will play... The other one that will be there, Blitzarf, do you think they'll play try and play Deconing as a ruckman?
Yep.
Or make him a ruckman?
Oh, I think they will.
Yeah. So that means Blitzarf has to play in defence. I just wonder. It'll be really interesting to see what he can get back to, Cam Guthrie, because he's been a great servant of the club. He's been when he was on, he was a very good player. After he had that little heart procedure, he was his running power went through the roof, and he became a very good player. But 2 years out is a long time out.
And after you used to clip him about the cheapies he used to get out the back.
Yeah, he wasn't doing that.
No. That might have come down to the fact that he had actually more pet.
Possibly
more velocity.
But if he could recapture, even if he could get back to 80 to 90% of what he was, even as a midfielder, because I think we've got enough in defence as another midfielder alongside Dangerfield, alongside Smith, alongside Holmes, alongside Bruin, alongside Jai Clark. Atkins. Suddenly, you've got a reasonable midfield. But it'll be interesting to see. Although he had a good preseason last year and then got injured in about the first 3 seconds of the game against Carlton, didn't he?
Did.
Yeah. So anyway, let's hope it all goes well for him because he's got. Well, let's hope he's got something to offer at his age.
We haven't convened since...
Convened. You ever convened?
The last Wednesday of September. Since then, Max Holmes has won the Kaji Greaves.
Well, we picked that.
Yeah.
I think I got 1-2-3, can you?
What was your 1-2-3?
I can't remember. Tell me who they are and I'll tell you. I had Holmes winning it.
Yep.
I had Zach Guthrie up there.
Well done. Runner up.
Yeah, and I had... The third I had, that's a good question, Kingy. The third player up there I had, I'm trying to think, well, probably Cameron.
Yep. So Holmes.
Where Tom Stewart finish?
At fourth.
Can you just run through the top 10?
Holmes on 164.
Yeah.
From Guthrie on 120.
Yeah, tick.
Cameron 118.
Yeah, fair enough.
Stewart 117.
Although I thought Cameron had a quiet patch in the season, but yeah.
Stewart 117.
Yeah, that's good.
Stengel 107.
Yeah. So that's fifth.
Yep.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yeah. Myers sixth with 95.
He had a quiet second half of the year. Yep. Quietish by his standards. Yeah,
Dempsey seventh on 73.
Yeah, that's a great effort.
Ollie Henry eighth on 69.
Yeah, well, how good's that? People want him out of the team. They're on the drugs.
The Kilt River Phoenix.
That's a great song, that. Also, there's another song that they've been singing called Spring Me Out of Caroline Springs. And it's got a great line at King. He says, come rescue me. I'm only 20 minutes from the CBD if you drive at 250.
Brad Close, ninth on 66.
Yep.
And Dangerfield.
Close top 10.
Yep.
Yeah. So your memory's better than mine. Who missed out that we were surprised then? So Collar Jasny wasn't in the top 10.
No.
Jack Henry.
Not in the top 10.
Nah, that's rubbish. They were better than Close.
After each game, the senior and assistant coaches review and rate each player's performance on a scale of 0 to 10. Votes are only polled in games where a player's performance has been deemed of a high quality by the coaching group or matches are counted towards their final total.
Collar Jasny and Henry were better than Brad Close.
Jack Henry's second half of the year was outstanding.
Absolutely.
From the Essendon game.
Close was only okay.
Yeah.
Better than the previous year.
First half of the year was good. He faded in the second half.
So I'm just trying to think. So Blitzarv's not there.
No.
Who else did we have that was in the mix there?
Let me have a look at the list.
So Tommy Atkins wasn't top 10?
No.
He probably was. Yeah, he's probably fair enough.
Yep.
I cannot believe, Kingy, that Jake Collar-Jasny or Jack Henry did not finish above Brad Close in the best and fairest.
Yep.
I thought Collar-Jasny, now people don't like him, and I do, so I'm a little bit biased, but I thought he was very, very solid this year.
And it comes down to...
Dangerfield wasn't in top 10.
No, he was 10th. Yep.
And he missed 8 games.
Jeez, probably the other one who second half of the year was pretty good was Jack Bowes.
Yeah, I'm just concerned about him, Kingy, though.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
Sean Manor probably would have made a run at some
Sean
stage.
Manor, I'm excited by him.
And Humphreys with their 12 and 11 games, respectively.
I'm really excited by both those players next year, Humphreys and Manor. I'm wondering whether Manor can make himself a more permanent fixture in the midfield, which would be fantastic because, you know, suddenly just adds another string to that bow and... Yeah, the other one there obviously is. Who did you mention? Who was the other one? Manor and Humphreys. Humphreys. Yeah, old Humphrey B. Bear. He's got unlimited potential. He's another one, Kingy, that where you're talking about half back, that's his spot. Mm. Are you going to take him out of there to put Gam Guthrie in? You can't only have so many defenders, Kingy.
Correct.
Yeah, so anyway, it's an interesting call, but I find that. Do you know what really boils my piss, Kingy?
What does that? You sound like, what's her name? Who says that? Sarah Millican, the Irish comedian. She's very funny, but she uses that phrase.
And then does she say, do you know what boils my piss?
Yeah.
Hotel kettles. No, is that those best and fairest, I maintain this till the day that my doot points towards terra firma, that they are done on contracts. Some of those placings are done on contracts. Not all of them, some of them. So I'd love to know whether that's actually true or not.
Yeah. Just on contracts.
Yep.
I think Sean Manners had an extra year tacked on.
So he had, 2 years?
Yep. So he'll become till the end of 2026.
Yeah, okay.
He's still being listed around the place as being out of contract next year, but I believe that's been pushed out a year.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yep.
Good for the Cats. So, like you say, he had a great second half of the year.
So the Cats will enter next year with a bunch of players, as always, out of contract. So, obviously, Stanley.
Did Dangerfield get 2 years or one?
He got two.
He got two. He wanted two, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's what the stalemate was over, wasn't it?
Correct.
I think the Cats wanted to give him one, and he wanted two.
But he says, he faced the media a couple of weeks ago, Patrick, and he had a little bit of fun, and probably some of it at my expense. I asked him about the captaincy, about is that a lock? And he said, oh, don't know. Less than a week later, Patrick Dangerfield had captain Geelong. And the other one I asked him was there some haggling over 2 years? He said, no, it was always two.
He said it was always two. The club was trying to hope he'd say that he only wanted one.
Right, yeah.
So 2 more years would take him to, 36? Jeez.
Yeah, he turns 35 in March.
Surely, okay. Do they have an out clause there? If he gets a bad injury this year, he's done.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Yep. So Stanley got another year.
Yep.
Cameron, contract year for him. Hard to believe that.
Out of contract there this year.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere.
No, the 5 years is up.
How many more years do you... Oh, I know everyone will say, which is fair enough, we need to wait and see what happens this year. Let's say he plays next year like he played this year. How many years do you think he gets? Do you think he gets another two?
I think he gets another three.
To take him, up to 35?
Yep.
Jeez. Geez, the old landscape's changed. We're selling blokes 3 year deals up to their 35.
Jeremy Cameron is a generational player.
Yeah, 35. Geez, it goes. So was Dusty Martin, but he came back to earth pretty quick.
Yeah, different type of player.
True, but he can come back to earth pretty quick. Yep.
Toby Conway, big year for him.
Loch Ness. Mm. Has there been any? Did you cite Loch Ness?
Not today. He was actually.
Oh, what a surprise!
He had the flu.
Oh. Goodness me.
He had the flu.
Oh, that, Loch Ness is just, where is Loch Ness? This tie is going down the Barwon, Kingy. We ever going to see him?
No.
Did you tell Mac that we call him Loch Ness? You should have. Because we've never seen the bloke, the poor bastard.
Right.
So if DeConing becomes a ruckman,
yep.
And you've got Reece Stanley, and you've got Conway,
yep.
Conway really needs to develop this year and next year in the twos, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He needs to play a full season in the twos.
Probably not that much, because what we've seen of him at AFL level is good enough.
I can't even remember. It was that long ago.
He actually rucked really
no,
well.
No, I know. He has got some talent.
Tell you when he rucked well, it was against Oscar McInerney before McInerney got hurt in that game in Brisbane.
Big Oscar.
Yep.
The big sharp elbow.
And he held himself pretty well in his first game.
Yeah, look, he has got some talent, but God, he's starting to get frustrating in the number of injuries that he's had. And but I'm just thinking, if De Koning comes in and becomes a reasonable ruckman, he's got a lot more experience, not in the ruck, but just a lot more AFL experience than Conway. It pushes him down the list. So you think that they're probably going to play De Koning more than they're going to play Conway. If Conway could get 6 games in the seniors and play 10 games in the twos and actually remain injury-free, that would be a big year.
Nevitt, Edwards, O'Sullivan, George Stephen, De Koning. De Koning had a little clean-up post-season.
A little clean-up?
Just a little clean-up on the...
Like an Australia Day clean-up?
On the Ian Kiernan style.
we had a clean-up king at school, which we get thrown off this podcast, or we went into what happened, but we had it.
No, Ben, we'll move on. So he's had some
if it happened now, you'd be St. Joseph's would have been on the front of the 80, what actually transpired, but it was very humorous. And the name given to the actual day that we had was, do you know what I'm talking about?
No, we're not talking about it. I'll tell you off air,
but it was extraordinarily humorous.
Right. So he had knee surgery, trending well, and he'll be close to training.
Trending well.
Close to
training.
Full season, a full training post Christmas.
Yep.
Who else is out? Humphreys will be in. Actually, no, Humphreys isn't. I apologise. He got an extension. Wiltshire, they're excited by what Wiltshire can do. He had some injuries last year.
He's sharp, is he?
Yeah, he's very good. Yeah, he knifes through the opposition.
He does, yeah. Yep. He cuts them apart.
Yeah, Duncan will be his last year. Busey, probably his last year.
Yep.
Dempsey is an interesting one. Cam Guthrie might be...
Dempsey out of contract.
Yes.
Well, let's hope the Cats can keep him, because I guarantee you there'll be clubs...
Clamoring.
There'll be clubs offering him some really good dollars. It's whether he's prepared to perhaps...
A bit different to what we...
Take a...
bit different to the Ollie Dempsey we're talking about.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there will be clubs, and he's so young that a club might go out on a limb and offer him a really good contract at a 5-6 year deal, which... I mean, in today's footy, that you've got to look at it. You can't just say, he's going to stay at Geelong because Geelong gave him his chance. Those days are gone, and I think they had to add an extra year to Stengel's contract to keep him at least another year or two.
Yep.
Well, we'll see how that plays out, but I mean, that may be good, it may be very, very bad.
Atkins, Shannon Neal's another one?
Well, they need to keep him, and I did hear a little interview with him. The Cats have been putting out bits and pieces.
Yep.
And he was talking. He looks like he's in pretty good shape.
He is. He's in really good shape.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
But he sort of talked about the way he was talking, and I was only reading between the lines because he didn't actually say it. But he was talking about the long term future of the clubs. Like he was projecting beyond just next year. So you hope to think if somebody's talking like that, he's thinking that he's part of that mix. It's a clear path for him now as a key forward. He's done the grounding. You know, he's done all the hard work at Geelong. I assume he's happy in Geelong.
He's settled in, yep.
Yeah.
He had some
issues early. Yep. Yeah, so you'd hope that over time, it could not have worked out any better for him. Even with Tom Hawkins getting injured, it wasn't ideal for Tom Hawkins or the fans, but it gave him a little opportunity. Sets him up to have a good season next year. And if you think he's going to come out and kick 50 goals next year, you need to take a couple of Panadol and lie down. He won't.
He doesn't need to.
No. But he just needs to build. He needs time to build. If he could kick 30 to 40 goals and be a player, he's going to have quiet games. He's going to have quiet periods. He just needs to work through that.
But you've also got to factor in, he's in a forward line with Jeremy Cameron.
Henry.
Ollie Henry, Tyson Stengel.
Yeah. Myers and Close.
Who can all find the goals.
Yeah.
So, you know, they've got to share them around.
But he also, his role too will then be, if he's not kicking goals, and I watched a few highlights of some games the other night actually, and there's a couple of opportunities. He didn't touch the ball, but he created a contest.
Yep.
And Stengel and I think Close was another one who kicked a goal off the back of that.
Yep.
So it's not all about stats for him. It's about him being a presence, creating a contest. But I did see some highlights. Geez, he moves brilliantly for a bloke who's 203. Mm. Holy crap.
Yep. O'Sheen Mullen, Ollie Henry, all of a sudden his 3 years will be up.
He's not going anywhere.
No, but just...
Yeah, they need to re-sign him.
Close.
Yeah, well, they don't want to lose him either. What's he, 26?
Yep.
Wheelhouse of his best footy. Yep. What about Tanner Bruin's deal? Did he only have 3 years?
No, it was extended during the year.
Oh, was he?
Yep.
Okay.
He's out to the end of 27.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yep.
Well, they need to get Ollie Henry done, Kingy. And I mean, you wouldn't have thought he's off anywhere, but they're going to have to come up with some Bugs Bunny to satisfy him. He's not going to play for free.
And Blitzarves will get a one-year deal to continue on, I would suspect.
Next year.
Yeah, he's out of contract at the end of 25. So you think he's only getting one.
Well, how old's Blitzarves? 33?
Three, yeah.
Yeah, he's only one bad injury away from being Kaputski.
Yeah. He'll be 34 in March.
Yeah, well, he's, I'd be just waiting and seeing on that before I started offering out what he's going to do the following year.
You'll get a year, though.
If he gets through injury, if he plays all right. If he doesn't, you'd hope that Connor O'Sullivan has worked his way into a position where he could take his spot.
Yeah, it's true. This is true. So he's actually racked up, he's actually climbed games-wise, Mark Woodsars, pretty quickly. So he's actually going to finish, if he has a good year, he'll finish the year very close to 300.
Mark Woodsars. He's it's all been unbelievable. And he played his first game when he was about 30. He's racked them up quite quickly. What about the draft, Kingy?
He was 22.
What about our selections?
The Cat selections in the draft. Yes. Yeah. So
we picked up Jay Polkinghorne.
Yep.
Son of David.
No.
Isn't it?
No.
No, I knew it wasn't Kingy. I was just no. He's it did surprise me a little bit, King. I suppose when you're picking at the point where the vacuum cleaners are going at the draft, it makes it a little bit more difficult. And the ladies, you know, wanting you out, your checkout time's almost up. they picked a medium sized forward. Haven't they got a few of those?
Yep,
yeah. Anyway, yep. So they picked him up. They didn't get a midfielder.
He's wearing number 2.
Yes.
Jacob Mollier is
as worn brilliantly by Lee Colbert.
Yep. Jacob Mollier will wear the number 20.
He's not. What position does he play?
He's a ruck.
Is he the ruck? Did we get a ruckman in the rookie draft as well?
Joe Pike.
Yeah.
He's a kid from Bowen Heads.
He had an extraordinary amount of John Mossop about him.
Yeah, he does. Now you say that. He does.
And the other kid we got in the rookie draft from Geelong, is it the midfielder?
Yeah, Xavier Ivasic.
Yeah, well, I won't try and take King. I could hurt myself. But I'm trying to think who he reminded me of someone when I was watching him as well. I was thinking we've got John Mossop, who was the player? I'll think of it. He reminded me of someone. This kid, he had good skills. But anyway, in the national draft, we got Polkinghorne at 191 as a mid-sized forward who can take a hanger.
Yep.
And then we got who?
We got Jake, the ruckman in
from. Where's he from?
From South Australia.
Sturt?
Yep.
Was he sort of rated supposedly as the best ruckman in the draft? Must be thin if we're picking him at pick 400.
He was highly rated, yep.
Highly rated.
In terms of ruck.
That's why everyone else passed on him about 8 times. And we got him.
Lennox Hoffman.
Oh.
It's a great name.
Lennox Hoffman.
Sure, they're calling him Dusty.
Well, hope they're not calling him Felicity because she's making number plates in the.
She was Huffman.
Oh, that's right.
Not Hoffman.
Yeah.
So he likes to be called Lenny. And then there's Keaton Matafai Forbes will wear the number 31.
Who?
He was the final pick. Kid out of the Western Jets. Out of Keilor, out of the Mick McGuan factory at
Keilor.
Killian Burke's the Irishman. He'll wear number 41. Xavier Ivasic will wear number 25.
Yeah, I liked him as a midfielder, and he had a little bit of skill about him.
Out of Ammos / Bell Park.
I'm trying to think of the player who reminded me of.
Paddy Retchko will wear number 20. Retchko is a gun runner.
Oh, the old Retchko.
Oh, yeah. he will challenge Blitzarves Myers.
Will he?
In the running,
Right, he's extraordinary, is he?
He's very good.
The old Retchko.
He could have gone to the US to run in the college system over there.
Right.
Yep.
Is it like, a 1,500 metres?
You're not a massive college football fan, are you?
No.
But did you follow the Heisman stuff?
No.
I want to vent somewhere. Mm. I follow Boise State, who have made the college football playoff. They got a first round bye. They'll play either Penn State or SMU in the quarters.
Yeah.
For a spot in the semis. They've got a running back called Ashton Gentry.
Yeah.
He's an absolute gun. How he did not
win. He can't win it.
He didn't.
No.
But he should have.
We can't. Because it's like the
bloke who's won.
A defender can't win the Brownlow.
The bloke who won it, school didn't even make
the
top
12. Was it Travis Hunter?
Yeah.
What position does he play?
No, I got no idea. Couldn't care less.
It's those awards, unfortunately, like the Brownlow.
I want to
That's why I don't. Yeah, I hear you, but this is why I don't follow the Brownlow.
Ashton Gentry will be a 12-year pro Hall of Fame sort of arrangement.
Well, let's hope that the Bengals get him then.
He'll be a star.
Daz will be all over this.
Yeah, that's why I've done. Daz, I need your feedback.
You need to be a wide receiver.
Yep.
He's a wide receiver, Travis Hunter, or a quarterback. It's like being a midfielder, Windsor Brownlow.
The numbers he was putting up, the rushing yards.
Extraordinary.
But
sometimes, you've got to be careful because they do rack up numbers against smaller schools.
He's challenging Deion Sanders. But they're not, though. I know they're in the Mountain West, But like
who?
Like the Mountain West is not a one of the powerful conferences.
No,
but they pushed Oregon's unbeaten, number one ranked school in the country.
The Oregon Ducks.
They needed a field goal to win to beat at Boise in round one. Or back
was this
in
on this blue field?
No, it wasn't. I think that was at Oregon.
Oh right.
Yeah. Anyway.
Well, anyway, it's good that he's so. Hopefully, you get drafted to someone pretty high.
Yeah,
might be us because we need a running back.
Come to Geelong.
Yes, come to Geelong.
And Joe Pike will wear number 37, not number 10.
That's John Mossop. Yeah, he is John Mossop. Right. I was waiting for Peter Bezuster to hove into the highlights, but it never happened.
So they're the eight new faces.
Plus, fantastic.
Plus Bailey Smith and Jack Martin. So Smith to wear 3.
Martin to wear 19. And a little touch there with Bruns and
yeah, it was great.
And Fred Wooler.
The one with Fred Wooler was done privately, just the club media. But the one with Neville Bruns was done with all the media down at Deakin.
Oh yeah.
And Brunsy spoke unbelievable.
Yeah, we had him on K-Rock. We've had him on K-Rock and he actually spoke really well. He was talking about Quentin Narkle wearing the 19.
Yeah.
I reckon it might have been his debut.
Yep.
Possibly. Yeah.
Well, Brunsy did say that he'd be actually happy to jump back on next year and have a chat, so we might
get... he speaks very well. He was an absolute gun. 220 games, was it?
Yep, 223.
He was a genuinely very, very good player, Neville Brunsy.
His last game was the 92 grand final.
Yeah, could play. Yep. Could play.
Captain the club.
He did. Yep. Did he?
Yep.
For how long? A year?
No, it was only, I think, as an acting...
Oh, the old acting.
Yeah, it might have been an injury and stepped in.
When I was a kid, he was sort of strutting his stuff, Brunsy, and he was tough, skillful, was quite a good mark for his size. He reminded me, Kingy, or the player reminded me of Neville Bruns, just a slightly different player, but had the same sort of way about him as Chapman, as Neville Bruns.
Yep.
Just that small, just good hands, skillful, could kick goals.
Elusive.
Yeah, just that sort of player, Kingy.
Yep. So, it was good to see Nifty down there. And
absolutely.
Everybody shopped at his Sports Power in Market Square.
Did they?
Yep.
Yeah. And that's when Gazza had his little fisty cuff with Lester Ellis, didn't he, in the Market Square?
I think Lester might have called it off because Gazza might have been giving him a touch-up.
Well, there's only about 400 kilos between them.
Different
one weight. Was a bantam weight, the other one was a super heavyweight.
Yeah. And he had the one down at Drysdale too.
Yeah.
Because he lived at Clifton Springs, Nev.
Yep. The old Sports Power.
Yep.
And
he had the first ever
and the Market Square these days. What's happened in there? Jeez,
Had the first ever cat shop too.
Did he?
Yeah, they ran a cat shop across. So where the Sports Power was, I reckon the cat shop was across the road. And I reckon Brunsy had the contract to run it.
Did they had any magnets there that you could purchase?
Player badges.
Malcolm Reed.
Murray Whitcomb.
Yes, possibly Andy Preston. Your Andy Preston badges.
Talking about blokes who like talking about old timers and the footy they played.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a gentleman join us next year who knows a little bit about that.
Who is that?
Ian Cover's going to join the K-Rock footy team.
Oh, is he?
During the year, yeah.
Doing?
Oh, just some bit of reminiscing stuff.
Oh, good. I love reminiscing.
We might do a little bit of, I'm thinking maybe of a, this is only workshopping.
He loves, he's good on the yap, his Cove.
A bit of one game wonder.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of arrangement maybe for home games down here where we'll have a chat.
Peter White?
Yeah, only played more than one game.
Wore the 33.
Yeah.
From Barwon?
Yes. Yeah. Then went and played in a premiership at Barwon Heads with Joffa Miles, I reckon.
I think you're right.
In 93.
Yes.
Saw Joffa the other day, Joffa Miles, great fella. His old man was a bookie.
Right.
And I was at the Werribee Cup and Joff's there working for a bookie as a payout man.
Right.
Yeah.
How was the Werribee Cup?
Good day.
Was it?
Yeah, I like.
Did you see any post-race shenanigans? No, like, was there any
out the door
white belts and white shoes, and then just sort of haymakers getting thrown?
No, pretty tidy at Werribee. Out the door after, I think it was another country cup win for Linda Meach. She just rides country cup winners for fun.
Moody trained that, didn't he?
Run
right.
Yes,
a grey beast,
and it's got a run in the Coastal Classic.
Yes, had more problems than Britney Spears. So they were pretty up and about that.
Yeah, so it won the Wodonga Cup the week before.
Wodonga.
Yeah. So it's getting closer to Melbourne.
I love Wodonga. it seems to be winning all the cups starting with W.
Yeah. Next.
It'll be Winchelsea.
Wagga.
The Winchelsea Cup.
Is there a Warrnambool Cup?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course there is. In May.
Oh.
Listed race.
No, I know we've been talking about COVID, but good news, obviously, with jumps racing too.
Yeah, it's going on for at least one more year. I think it's...
Is it on its last
race? I think it's on its knees, Kingy.
Yeah.
Which is not where you want to be. But it's yeah. I look, they've given it a reprieve, but they've put measures in, and I think they're going to eventually. It'll be the end of jumps racing in the not too distant future, but it's at least going for the next year.
Predictions for next year?
Well, it's hard to make predictions this far out, King, isn't it?
The fixture's good.
Yeah, the fixture's pretty good.
10 games down here.
Look, I don't know. I don't know, Kingy. You'd have to think that with Bailey Smith joining, Max Holmes a year older.
Are you happy with the Martin addition?
Well, I don't. Look, I think if he was... I think he's one of those players that if he came in and did something, you're glad, but you're not expecting it. So I wouldn't be expecting too much from Jack Martin. I don't know...
He's a good size. He's actually bigger than...
Probably 6'1", is he?
Yeah, he's 185.
He's just so fragile. I just don't think you should have any expectations on Jack Martin, and if he delivers something for you, then that's good. I don't know how he fits in.
Yep.
He can only play half forward. That's the only position he can play. He's not big enough to play anywhere else. He's too fragile to play around the ball. I don't know if he's got the running power to play on the wing. So he has to play as like that elusive half forward. Yep. Now, you've already got Stengel, you've got Ollie Henry, you've got Myers, although Myers doesn't mark the ball, Close. Obviously. You've got Close, then you've got Neil, you've got Cameron, and you've got, well, depending on what happens with Sean Manor,
yep.
who is more of a grunt player, so you're going to have him in
is
more
Manor
than...
Is Manor going to see more midfield
Well,
time?
That's what I'm hoping, so I said that earlier, but I just don't know where Jack Martin fits in. He's a shiny piece because he's a former high draft pick who has ability. I just don't have any expectations on him, and... As I said, let's hope he fits in and finds a spot and plays well. But if he doesn't, then I wouldn't be pointing too many fingers at Jack Martin, because I think they got him for a song.
Yeah.
They're paying him peanuts, yeah. and they're just hoping that the talent or they could get something out of that talent for one season.
Minimum chips for him. Where are the Cats finishing? Top eight?
Oh, they'd be bitterly disappointed if they missed the eight.
Yeah.
I would have thought. You never know with injuries, but I'm thinking that. The midfield would be better.
Yep.
With those players I mentioned earlier, and you've got legitimate reason to think that Tanner Bruin hopefully has a better year on the injury front and is a year older and has what 4 years now under his five
in the
years
system.
Four years under his belt. I think Jai Clark can take a step and become a more. I'm not going to say he's come in and be one of your frontline midfielders, but he can do what Tanner Bruin did. This year, or has done over the last couple of years, just incrementally improve and play more of a role. You've got Cam Guthrie coming back. That's a bit of an unknown. You throw in Bailey Smith. Max Holmes has had another season. You've got Tom Atkins. You've got Sean Manor. So you'd on that alone, you'd be expecting your midfield to be better. No Tom Hawkins, and I know he didn't play much last year, and when he did play, he wasn't the Tom Hawkins, but... I just wonder about the midfield. I think Shannon Neal is going to take more time to develop.
Yep.
More pressure on Jeremy Cameron. But saying that, if the midfield's better, it gives him more opportunity.
Correct.
Because there were games last year where the midfield got absolutely slaughtered and the mid-forwards had no chance whatsoever. So I think it all rests on the midfield. I think you'd expect the defence to be as good, if not better, at least as good as they've been. I don't think you'd expect too much change in the defence.
No.
I mean, Lawson Humphreys comes in, maybe plays a bit more, but you've got players who had been doing it for a while, Stewart,
Zach Guthrie,
Collar Jasny, Jack Henry. Yep. That's just going to be a stable part of their game. Yep. So I'd be bitterly disappointed if they don't finish top eight. I would have thought they'd be pushed, the legitimate eyes on top four, which we didn't think, I didn't think they did last year, but you'd think legitimate eyes on top four if things go well.
All right, here's some questions off the KFCX. The Hoops crew, who will be the 2025 whipping boy?
Well, it would be Reece Stanley again. He'll be in the twos, hopefully. If Reece Stanley's playing, we're probably in trouble. It means that De Koning experiment hasn't worked or he's injured and Loch Ness can't be found.
Dave Twist.
Oh, well, just on that, the whipping boy, I got a funny feeling it will... Well, it's Reece, obviously be Reece Stanley, but that's nothing new.
Could Shannon Neal turn into one?
Possibly, because I think fans will get impatient with the fact that he will have quiet games.
Yep.
And I think if he was to play, the club will become whipping boy in terms of Jack Martin, getting Jack Martin. Why have you got Jack Martin? If he's playing and not playing well at the expense of somebody else.
Yep. Dave Twist, which player are you looking forward to next year? Who's under pressure? And what about Kingy? Let Benny finish with a brilliant Christmas story, PG rated, of course. which player are you looking forward to next year? I'm actually looking forward to Jack Martin, because Jack Martin at his best improves Geelong. And I I like what I've seen so far.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Well, I mean, what has he done? He would have done absolutely nothing. At this stage of the year, he would have done about four laps and had done a bit of lane work.
What he's done to get the body right.
Oh, right. What's he been doing? Has he been in like a sort of a chamber?
He's been working this SNC staff at Geelong. They've got a new bloke called Des O'Sullivan who's come in from the Bulldogs.
Right.
And highly rated. And, Jack's worked his backside off.
To get his body right.
Yeah. He looks really good.
Does he?
Yep.
Right. Well,
I'm hoping in 12 months' time we're doing the pre-2026 podcast. I can look back and go, what I saw was reflected in what he produced.
Okay, well, that's good, Kingy. I'm liking that. Can you have a few?
Yep.
So Shannon Neal is one I'm looking forward to seeing, because I think that he has got some real attributes. And as I said, you're just still going to have to be a little bit patient, but I think he's one. The other one I'm looking forward to seeing is Toby Conway, and that's not necessarily in the AFL. That might even just be in the VFL. Yep. I'd just like to see him get a decent run at it and see out a season without getting injured. I'm looking forward to seeing how Bailey Smith integrates himself into the midfield and how they use him alongside Holmes. If I've got a knock on the midfield, it's going to be that they're small.
Yep.
Bailey Smith's not a big player.
No, Dangerfield's their
biggest. Dangerfield's their biggest player. He's on the way out, which is fair enough. I just have always said that they're just a little bit on the small side. Bruin, Clark, Atkins, and they're not big. That's why we've always used to hope Nevitt would get a game at 193. So Smith's the other one. And the other one that I'm looking forward to seeing is, if you're telling me that they're going to use DeConing in the ruck, how that goes.
Yeah.
As a player who trains in the ruck across the preseason, rather than getting thrown in when you've got nothing else, having never played there before.
Although his training has been limited because of coming off the knee surgery.
Off the clean-up.
Yes.
Have you ever had a clean-up?
No, I haven't, Benny. Who's under pressure?
Under pressure? Under pressure. Well, this is going to sound stupid, but to a degree, I think Mitch Duncan. They've put him in for an extra year. I think most Cat fans are scratching their head as to why.
Because if he was 285 games.
Well, I can't have that. But I don't. If they've just put him in to get to 300.
But we've had this discussion that he has been managed and stuff like that.
But he actually had a pretty. He had an injury interrupted year this year, and he struggled. He didn't miss too many games. They just rested him every now and then. He actually didn't have, from memory, he didn't have any significant type injury across the whole year. He played
played 22 games.
He played, so he's just form was way off the mark. I don't know that he's going to get any better. So I think the pressure will be on Mitch Duncan. Can he wring anything else out of his body at this point of his career? And will the club have a little bit egg on its face by keeping him on? Because the last thing you want to see is by round five, Mitch Duncan can't touch the footy. And whoever comes in and takes his spot, the club start going well, or they're going well, he's not part of it, and he's in the twos. Yep. What's he going to do?
Well, then he probably pulls the pin and they have a pick at the mid-season draft.
Possibly, but if that's the understanding, I don't know if you want... Look, I know sentiment and all that. I don't think you can start running your club with just trying to get blokes to milestones.
But when you're rarely doing it, it's not like Geelong have done it before.
I just don't think it's good business practice. Yeah. You're in the business of winning.
I'm happy.
As Ange Postecoglou says when they ask him about his players, he goes, I don't care how they feel. It's not my role. I'm there to get them to play. I don't care how they feel about stuff.
I'm happy for that.
No, I'm not. I'm happy for Mitch Duncan, and if he can... Has he got one season left in him? But if he was coming off an injury this year and you could say, okay, he might get some continuity next year, you'd say fine. But he actually had continuity last year and he struggled.
Yeah. What else off the KFC X? We've got a little bit going on.
The Triple X.
Have you got a Christmas story that's PG rated?
A Christmas story?
Yeah. Come back to that. Hopefully you're getting plenty of cash from racing.com for all those celebrity appearances.
Yes. No, none. I'm getting zero for those, but it means we're getting winners. So I'm happy to go on if we're getting winners. Right. They do. Yeah, I have been on a bit, which because we've had a bit of success, King. We've started this season quite well.
Mick Howley, all I want for Christmas from the Cat Attack pod is a Gary Ablett senior story and perhaps an unedited, no-holds-barred, ointment-filled pod.
Ointment. It's one of the great words, isn't it? Ointment. So my horse won, Kingy. I don't know. So a horse that I won the Group 2 on Cox Plate Day, the Crystal Mile.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Plenty of ammo, yeah. We use ointment for because a lot of the owners have got ammunitis. We've come down with a rare condition, Kingy, known as ammunitis. I don't think I've got a Christmas story, Kingy.
That's good.
Well, not that I can tell you. Not that
won't get edited, so don't waste your time. Premieres.
My premature gag can stay.
Looks like we got a Christmas stocking full of ruckman this year. Jacob Mollier looks impressive and may up as a key forward. See you next year.
Yeah, well, you just got to be real patient with ruckman.
Adrian Mancini, who is of Italian origin, so he's opened up with Buon Natale.
Yes.
Which
means get lost.
Merry Christmas in Italian.
No, I knew that, Kingy.
Did you?
No.
You're very,
absolutely
did
not.
Did you do Italian or French at Joey's?
No, I did French. I did French even though I have an Italian-sounding surname. And do you know what? At the end of the 4 years of French at St. Joseph's, do you know the only thing I could say?
We.
No, yeah. I could say that. No, well, there's a few things. I could say we.
Yeah.
But the only sentence that I could concoct was, I would like a kilo of apples.
Do you know what it is?
Je voudrais un kilo de pomme. That's all I could say. So if I was lost in the middle of France, I couldn't get a cab and I couldn't get a beer, but I could get myself a kilo of Granny Smith's if they were available. I hated French. So what we used to do?
You did it for 4 years.
Yeah. So what we used to do? We had a lady teaching us French. Her name was Evelina Thornton. And she was a wee woman. She needed to go to the toilet, she was actually not very big in stature.
Or saying yes.
Yes. And so towards the end, this is what boys do, unfortunately, King, in year 10. I got her keys. So she had this big clump of keys, which teachers like to do for some unknown reason. Yeah,
that opens everything.
But there was a clump of like 300 keys on this thing, and she had them on her desk. And I put them up on the St. Joseph's ledge of the window. She actually couldn't reach them. And everybody left.
Oh, no.
And so it was great merriment. We waited to see how long she had to go and get another teacher to come in to help get her the keys down. Because she wasn't stable enough to get,
on the chair.
Yeah.
Anyway. Damien, hang on, Adrian Mancini, I'm expecting more roller coaster-ish stuff next year. Very good core group of players, 21 to 24. Who makes the biggest leap? Zach Guthrie for All Australian. Have a safe, festive and overly refreshed off-season.
Was he in the squad this year? Yeah. Yeah, I think he'd be...
Was he even in the squad?
No, he had a good year anyway. He probably should have been if he wasn't. Who's going to make the biggest leap this year? So you think of a player who's coming... That's a good question. Can you have a couple? I'll say Jai Clark will be one. And that's not to say that he's suddenly going to become...
Guthrie wasn't even in the squad.
Yeah, that's a bit bizarre. I thought he was very good.
Yeah.
Jai Clark, I'm not expecting him to suddenly be top 10 in the best and fairest. I just think that he can make a significant leap from where he's come from. First year was injury prone. This year, I think he made strides, even though, what did he play, a dozen games?
Yep.
But he also played in the twos with some continuity, so he had a full season of footy. I reckon he can make a leap and become a handy midfielder or show signs that he's really part of the midfield going forward. The other one, Kingy, who I think can make a big leap. It's hard to say a big leap because it depends what you mean by big leap.
Yep.
Shannon Neal, you would expect to take more steps. I don't think he's going to take a giant leap, but he'll take more steps. And the other one is I'd like to see take step is Nevitt because I think he's got something to offer. We've been on his bandwagon and the Cats coaching staff are not on his bandwagon, although at least they weren't this year. So let's hope he can play a bit of a role next year as a midfielder, as a big body midfielder can take a mark.
Question asked by Marshall, why on earth did we pass on Dodson? That's Alex Dodson, who's the big ruck from South Australia.
Yeah, King, I'd have to defer to you on that because I'll be honest, King, I didn't watch the draft.
No, the draft here at K-Rock was handled by AJ in the newsroom.
Oh, yeah.
And I was on leave.
Old AJ.
Yep.
How is AJ?
I was on leave. I was...
Oh.
whacking a little white ball around the courses of the Murray. So,
whacking white balls, Kingy.
Yep. Frank Perotta, will Jack Martin bite Carlton on the backside in 2025?
No, that'd be my answer there. Okay. No, look, if Jack Martin didn't have his pedigree, I don't think the Cats would be picking him up. They're just banking on getting 1 year out of him if he get his body right. But he hasn't been able to get his body right since Jesus snapped that ball around the corner against Jerusalem once. And
who was Jesus playing for that day, Bethlehem?
No, well, he had a transfer.
Was he a restricted free agent?
He did, yeah. He and Moses went on a package.
Right.
Yeah, and they played for Mount Sinai.
Cat to the Future, cue Mariah Carey, because all I want for Christmas is you, talking about the podcast. Thank you, Cat to the Future.
Oh, yeah.
Flog water, early Christmas present.
Have you ever drunk that?
A few questions.
Flog water. I'm having a glass of flog water.
What is your assessment of Geelong's 2025 draw? I like it. Yeah, there's no excuses in Geelong's fixture next year.
Well, is there ever an excuse in your fixture?
No, there's not. There's harder fixtures than others, and I don't think Geelong's is a... You're not looking
if you're good enough, you'll get there.
Yeah, yep.
I think you can be flattered early in the season by perhaps an easy draw, but at some point you...
Well, Geelong aren't getting an easy draw. They're going to Brisbane in round one.
No, that's not ideal. Well, in fairness, King, it's probably the best time to play the reigning premier.
Yep.
Coming off a premiership. So if the reigning premier would no doubt be coming off a premiership. So I think that's a good time to actually have a crack if you're up and about.
Mind you,
the Cats only finished a week or so before them.
Yes, correct. Yeah. What ladder position after the home and away rounds would you consider to be a pass mark next season?
Oh, top four would be great.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, I think a pass mark is just making the finals. That's what you do from there. Well, Brisbane proved they came from fifth and won a flag.
Yeah, they did. And I don't know how that happened.
Yeah.
I mean, they were... Yeah, it's just bizarre.
That Giants... That still shake my head how they...
Even Geelong, they had him on toast, four goals.
Yeah, but 44 points is a completely different...
But how the Giants must be at home thinking, what's just happened there? Yeah. When they had Sydney on toast, and they had Brisbane on toast, they were out in straight sets.
Yep.
I reckon GWS will be very, very, very hard to beat next year.
Which of the Cats youngsters do you predict will make a significant impact next season?
Well, I mentioned one. I think Jai Clark will make an impact. I'd love to see Toby Conway make an impact. I'd love to see... Shannon Neal make an impact. I would love to see Mitch Nevitt. I'd love to see Tanner Bruin continue to improve. And I'd love to see somebody jump up, Kingy. What are the expectations for somebody like Connor O'Sullivan? Is he still a year or two away?
He's put some... I reckon he's a little bit bigger.
Well, you'd hope, correct.
But he looks bigger. What's the expectation? Well, that, as you say, that back line is hard to... force his way into.
It is, yeah.
Depends on where they're going to play him. Are they playing him as a tall wingman? I don't think so. I don't think you're drafting using your first pick to make a bloke a tall wingman.
So the question would be then, Kingy, if Taconin comes in and plays in the ruck and Blitzarves goes down back, say there's an injury to Blitzarves, Connor O'Sullivan is he's next in line as a tall defender.
Yep.
I don't think they've got anybody else, have they?
Not of note, no.
They haven't.
Because Emerson Jekar got let go.
Oh, I watched him once. He was horrible.
Howl of 41. My wife had our second son last week, and now this. All my Christmases have come at once. Oh, congratulations, Howl of 41. Club did well to
second, get... What, second child?
Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Howl of 41. Club did well to get Bailey Smith. I felt a key forward might have been handy to plug into the VFL program with us losing Foster and Furphy, but both are beers. Boom, boom. Well, Nathan Kruger's come back to play in the VFL.
For Geelong?
Yep.
Has he?
Yep.
God, it's the system spits you out pretty quickly, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like he sort of thought he had some talent at Geelong, and some Geelong fans are questioning why they let him go. The Cats did a deal with Carlton
to get him as one of those. Carlton had that pre-draft selection back in 17 or 18, and Geelong did a deal to get him.
Mm. And then he played a couple of good games for Collingwood, and then suddenly you're out.
COVID hurt him. 2020 couldn't play any games to press his case.
Yeah.
And then 21, you know, the VFL was so stop-start. And the Cats were flying as
well. Yeah, but if you're good enough, you're still going to get there, Kingy. I'm just saying to you, you can, if things don't go your way, the ball doesn't bounce your way, so to speak, you can be spat out of that system pretty quickly. And that's what I fear will happen for, you know, Mitch Nevitt if he doesn't sort of pick up. I mean, look at Brandon Parfitt.
Yep.
I mean, I thought he was going to be a key player for the Cats in the midfield. And now he's not even, where's he playing?
Darwin.
He's going to Darwin to play.
Yeah, he's going to play in the Waffle with Perth.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought after his first four or five games of the season last year, after he got that opportunity in Adelaide, that he was actually back on track. But anyway, here we are, 9 months later. There's a lot there from Howler 41, but most of it can't go to air, so that's good.
Really?
No.
What is he?
He's worked a little.
Did he tee off?
Little light blue.
What did he say?
No. Well,
give us a summary.
No, I just.
I love light blue.
A bit of euphemism and innuendo.
Oh, yeah, that's what I love. That's in my wheelhouse. Can you hear that?
Santa may bring Benny the tattoo voucher he desperately wants to get that tattoo.
I'm still working on it, King. You just have to
clear
a spot in me doot.
Dudus Maximus. Dudus Maximus. What, if anything, can the rest of the comp copy from the Lions? Was there any superior system or tactics or just their crop of players?
Look, I'm probably not the person to talk about that, King. I think that, you know, they're well-stocked. And they got it. Look, they showed some mental fortitude to come back and win those games against GWS and Geelong. I mean, they beat GWS.
Who'd they beat in the first final?
No, they won pretty easily, didn't they?
Carlton made the run at them.
Yeah.
In the first final.
Yeah. They showed some real mental fortitude. I don't think there's anything you can learn in terms of game plan, or they just happened to find form at the right time. They had some resilience and key players. I know. I mean, Danaher will be an enormous loss for them. He was. He would have been top three in their best and fairest, was he? I reckon. He'll be a huge loss.
Yeah.
Because suddenly you're looking at that Logan Morris, who's got some talent, mind you, but he's suddenly going to now attract possibly the second defender. The best defender goes to Hipwood rather than being the third banana. So the Danaher leaving is enormous for them. But, you know, Lachie Neal was outstanding in the finals with a broken foot. You know, Ryan Lester. I mean, how good was Ryan Lester against Geelong in that final?
Danaher finished ninth.
Yep. Ninth?
Yep. Equal seventh.
Hang on, he keeps going up.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just looking at it. He's got nine next to his name, but he's got 56 votes, which is what Berry and Andrews also polled.
God,
Ryan Lester, here's a couple of interesting ones. The top four, no real surprise in the Brisbane Best and Fairest. So Neil Zorko, how old was Zorko?
400 years old. Yeah. 36, I think.
Dunkley and McCluggage.
Yeah, all mid.
Guess who number five was? Most random.
Ryan Lester.
Close. Same part of the ground. Most random bloke.
And Starcevich.
No. Where's a very high number?
A high number?
Yep.
I don't know.
Darcy Wilmot.
Was he?
Yeah. And Lester was sixth.
Well, so, I mean, they lost Coleman. Yeah. So Wilmot had to become an attacking defender.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think there's anything you could really learn other than they just got it right. Well,
they got it right having lost so many, like Coleman, McCarthy, to injury.
Yeah, but everyone's going to lose players.
Yeah.
I just think Geelong would be also, we talked about GWS sitting on the couch scratching their head, Geelong would be as well. You're four goals in front, playing good footy. 20 minutes of poor footy in that prelim cost Geelong.
And the Holmes being off the ground.
Yeah, well,
that's what coincided with the poor footy. Holmes.
But you can't. Not for 20 minutes. They just, for whatever reason, they just fell in a hole for 20 minutes in that third term. And they dominated the last quarter.
Yeah.
But anyway, they got it right, Brisbane. We've seen how many teams have got it right in the final. I mean, obviously you're getting it right to win it, but the Bulldogs, when they won it.
In 16. Melbourne in 21.
Melbourne. Yep. Just everything clicked. And I thought everything was clicking for the Cats when Dangerfield streams into that open goal. I thought, hang on, we're going to make the grand final here.
Yep.
And the way Sydney played, you wouldn't have put it past the Cats to win it. But I don't think you could learn anything about the way Brisbane play the game. Because they had some ups and downs in the year. They had two. I mean, they started the year horribly.
Yep.
And then they had a little lull close to finals as well where they lost some games.
Yeah, they lost one to Collingwood at the G.
And they lost a lowly opponent as well, I'm sure.
Yep.
Somewhere close to finals. So they had sort of two lapses and were able to overcome it and find their feet, which was, you know, credit to them. I'm sort of quite happy for Chris Fagan. I think he's seemingly one of the better guys in the game.
So they lost to they beat Essendon in the last round.
Their form going in the last sort of 6 weeks was a bit up and down.
Yep. They lost to the Giants. They lost to the round 24 lost to Collingwood, round 23 lost to the Giants. Round 22, they flogged St Kilda. Round 21, they beat the Gold Coast. And round 20, to take it back 6 weeks, they beat the Swans by in that cracking game by 2 points.
2 points, yeah. Yeah.
So, they Collingwood was the surprise loss, I think.
Yeah.
But it was at the G.
Yeah, well, it was... Well, I think that's when you were thinking that they were going to struggle. If they couldn't come down and beat Collingwood at the MCG, then they were going to struggle against some teams if they had to travel again. And they were able to come back from the Cats. I think it was 25 points behind 5 minutes into the third quarter.
Daz Broncos is chairman and CEO of the Shannon Neal success train. What do we think will be considered a pass mark for 25? Well, we did touch on that earlier, Daz.
30-odd goals.
Need to get him re-signed as well during the year. There's no replacing Tom Hawkins. Let's make that clear and obvious. Yep. We know that.
Correct, weight, Daz.
That said, he's gone away this off-season, gotten much bigger and stronger, and is clearly giving himself every chance to succeed. Can he become a focal point for the next 12 years? And what is a successful 25 season, in your opinion? So that's, as a team, well, successful 25 season is playing in a grand final and winning it.
Yeah, for the Cats it is. I think that's what they eye, and they can legitimately eye that. You need a lot of luck and a lot of things to go your way, and things you can't control either, what other clubs do, how their injuries fall. But Geelong starts this season thinking that they are a genuine premiership team. Not every club would be able to say that. Are they good enough? Who knows? What will happen? Who will know? But at least they're starting off on a base where you'd think, coming from last year, are there legitimate reasons to think they can improve? Yep. Yes. Will they happen? Who knows?
Yep. Like your thoughts on Jack Martin. Well, we've given those a little bit earlier. Clear free hit and cost contract-wise, and 8 skills are plenty, but can be the difference to keep him on the park, or can we be the difference to keep him on the park? Merry Christmas. Oh, P.S. Benny, I hope Joe Burrow can bring you joy, but it seems a tall ask again.
Well,
this year.
Brings me joy every week, but the bozos around him can't seem to stand up.
Can you make the playoffs, Cincy?
Oh, we've got 2% chance. Okay. Yeah.
And Cats of the Future to finish things off. We had him a bit earlier. I think the expectations of Neil will kind of flip this year. Last year, people thought he was at last chance to learn. Took a while for people to see the wood through the trees on the fact that he's, in fact, building quite nicely.
Who was that?
Cats of the Future.
No, but who was the player?
Shannon Neil.
Oh, yeah, we've spoken quite a lot about Shannon Neil. I think he's one that... Yeah, Cat fans can be excited about, but don't get too excited and, get overexcited, King. You don't want any premature stuff come into your repertoire, do you?
No.
You want to keep it all, just make sure you stay like a 3,200-metre animal.
Yeah, rather than being the 9.55, 55-second challenge.
Yeah, break the 55 seconds, King.
Cats have got their AGM tonight. We're recording
this
Wednesday.
Oh, are you going?
I'm going along.
Yep. Are you? What are you going to...
Well, there's a new president.
Oh, right. Who we got?
Grant McCabe. It takes over from Craig Drummond.
Right. And from Drummond Golf?
No. They'll award the RJ Hickey Award. There's the Costa Carter Award, and there's some life memberships. So we'll be across those. There's a couple other things on the agenda to keep an eye out for. Mm. I believe something constitutional as well. Not sure of the exact details, but we'll cover off that on K-Rock Footy. Cats will play Hawthorn in a match sim on Monday, February 17.
At?
GMHBA Stadium at 2 o'clock.
That'll come around before you know it.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That may be closed to the public, but will be live streamed.
To the pubic. Not allowed in. Why not?
Well, it's probably just the cost of opening the venue.
They don't have to have anything to sell. They can just open the doors and let people in, can't they?
You need security and all that sort of stuff. It's not a cheap exercise.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And then the following Tuesday, GMHBA Stadium for Community Series against Essendon.
Yes.
That's Feb 25.
Yep.
Bounce at 7:10. And then we'll be into round one against the Lions in Brisbane for opening round.
Right. Well, it'll come around, Kingy. We'll, before you know it, your head will be spinning.